This show was first broadcast on Free FM 89.0, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access radio station. For more information on our station and our wide range of programs, visit freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to Connect with Community Waikato. You're listening to Free FM 89.0, Real Community Radio. Holly Snape in the studio with you today from Community Waikato. And I am joined by Maria Lowe. Welcome, Maria. Appreciate you coming in this early in the year. I know that you already hit the ground running. You've been very busy.
Well, I certainly have. In fact, sometimes too busy, but it's a joy to be working with people with epilepsy. And so I really enjoy and feel very humbled by people reaching out to our organisation.
I mean, that's absolutely fantastic. In fact, let's just take a step back and introduce you properly. You are an advisor with the Waikato Epilepsy Charitable Trust.
Yes, Epilepsy Waikato Charitable Trust.
Yes.
Or now, EWCT.
Yes.
Yes.
And you've been in this role for a little while now, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I've been in this role for 5 years in this new organisation. And I previously worked since 2007 in another organisation.
Involved with epilepsy.
So
you've had a long history.
Absolutely.
What got you excited or interested or passionate about working in this particular industry?
I didn't have any contacts with people with epilepsy prior to this job. I was actually a teacher and I had taught for a number of years. And then I got this job, and the more I worked with people with epilepsy, the more passionate I became about giving them the things that they need, because it's a really complex, and it is a very complex condition, actually. And you have to have bucket loads of empathy and understanding and knowledge in order to reach out for the people with the condition.
Could you give us a bit of an idea about the sort of difficulties someone with epilepsy might have in everyday life? Like, why is it they need someone like you? What kinds of things can happen that really impact someone who's living with this condition?
Well, it's very much an individual condition. So there are 40 different seizure types. And so I liken it to a spectrum of disorders. Not everyone with epilepsy has and experiences the same type of seizures. Not everyone experiences a grave problem with epilepsy, but in some ways their epilepsy will have an impact on their life. So it may be that they lose a license and the impact of losing a license. It may be that they're struggling with their medication. It may be that at school they may be bullied. Employment is a barrier. And so there are huge amounts of burdens that people with epilepsy carry. And so my role is to support and advise a person with epilepsy and support them in whatever means that they need. So I have to have a really good understanding of the epilepsy.
Yes.
And I have to have a really good understanding of their burden in order to help them. So in my role, I do a lot of networking. I don't feel that I can solve everyone's problems, and I don't. But I certainly reach out to other organisations to help the problems that someone with epilepsy has.
And so you say not everyone has the same situation, the same kind of presentation of symptoms, but I certainly know that, you know, to be just a general person somewhere and to be in a situation where somebody has a seizure, it can be quite frightening for the general population as well. Do you do a lot of work educating people about epilepsy?
I spend a lot of time training, so I may go into a school, into a residential home. Yeah. I give lots of public talks, and it's about giving that level of awareness to people. So when I give a talk, half of my talk will be on the medical aspect of epilepsy, what it looks like, and the seizure triggers, medication, and what to do first aid-wise with a person with epilepsy. And the other half that I give is about the burden around their seizures. So with epilepsy having 40 different types of seizures, we could have thousands of ways in which those seizures are presented. And so the general knowledge is important, and then it's about keeping a person safe with whatever way in which they're presenting their seizures. So the tonic-clonic, or the grand mal seizure, as people used to call it in my day, that's a full convulsive seizure. So it's knowing how to look after someone who's having a convulsive seizure.
There's been some shifts in how people do that. I remember as a young person that the advice was to, like, essentially get someone into a headlock and stop them from...
Oh, gosh.
I know! Yes. Stop them from apparently hurting themselves or making sure they didn't swallow their tongue and all these sort of things. And so it was about physically trying to restrain someone.
Right.
Now, I understand that we've moved from there and it's really quite the opposite in terms of making the environment safe.
It is about making the environment safe. In fact, giving people a headlock was... Or sitting on someone whilst they're having a seizure. How awful.
Oh,
and also putting fingers and sticks and rulers
in
people's mouths. And I even heard an account of a safety pin to try and drag the tongue out.
Oh, that's just terrible.
And, you know, there are these real horror stories, but it's still present in a group of people out there who believe that that's what you still do.
Mm.
And it is about keeping someone safe. So it's make the environment safe. But the most important thing about that also is the timing.
Mm.
When do you actually call the ambulance?
Yes.
Is it immediately? Or can you allow a couple of minutes while someone is really writhing on the floor, not breathing, blue around the gills, eyes roll back, frothing at the mouth, and having this convulsive seizure? And if somebody's well known to have epilepsy, you don't actually have to intervene until 5 minutes. And if it goes on and on and on, or one seizure follows another, yes, you call the ambulance.
5 minutes might feel like a long time. 3 minutes probably feels like 10 minutes for someone who's new to that situation as well.
If it's a new seizure,
yes,
call the ambulance.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, and if you didn't know the person, if this is out in the street somewhere and you didn't know that person, you'd call the ambulance as well, would you?
Yes, unless they're wearing identification.
Mm-hmm.
And to show that they actually have epilepsy, and then perhaps you can be a little
just wait a little bit.
Yes,
because but don't walk by.
No, just offer assistance, and also don't shout at someone whilst they're recovering, because you don't know when they're going to actually come out of it, and they will be very confused and tired when someone is coming out of a seizure.
Yeah.
So that's a convulsive seizure, but there are other seizures that can make someone look drunk and disorderly.
Oh, really?
And that's really unhelpful for the person who has those seizures. Or they may wander. And I've had a couple of people who wander from one side of Hamilton to the other and not know how they've got there.
Wow.
And in that time, they've had a seizure. So it's really interesting that the types of seizures out there and how it's presented, from the burning smell to a taste to a feeling and then to the full convulsive seizures.
Yeah. There are some really interesting, particularly for me, around my area of passion, things happening around assistance dogs and epilepsy. And they're finding that dogs are often able to identify when a seizure is going to come on.
Even the pet dog.
Really? Even pets are even untrained? Pets. Dogs are awesome.
They really go, girl, yes. So dogs will often bark.
Yeah.
That somebody's...
There's
a warning.
Yeah.
Yes, dogs are brilliant, actually. But they have a new watch on the market now that you can get in the States.
Yes.
That can alert someone, or a loved one, that they're brother or sister or whatever is having a seizure.
Yeah.
And so technology's moving very fast to try and warn people that there is a seizure happening. Quite expensive from the States, but dogs are loving. And I probably have a dog.
Yeah, absolutely. So you talked about, well, we covered that there are different types of seizures, and you talked a little earlier about triggers. So could you give us a little idea about what kinds of things might trigger a seizure for somebody?
Okay. The obvious one is not taking medication. So you need to have medication in your blood at all times. And so it's about routinely taking your meds.
Mm.
That's the top. The second is stress.
Oh, really?
Stress is at the top.
See, I was thinking flicking lights.
No, very few people have flicking lights.
Isn't that funny? That's part of those myths of what we feel we know about epilepsy.
Yes.
So the next one is stress. So people have got a lot of stress in their lives, a lot of tension, a lot of stuff going on, or...
And what you might think is not stressful. Yep. Someone with epilepsy feels very stressed. And I read an interesting article looking at research around stress and epilepsy recently. If you have a predisposition to epilepsy, then stress, the physiological changes in your brain are already programmed for that stress and that epilepsy to happen. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so a lot more research to be done in stress and epilepsy. Mm. So people feel stressed for a number of reasons in their lives. It could be that a student at uni has got an essay coming up. It's an all-nighter, and if they start having an all-nighter writing their essay, lack of sleep can cause them to have a seizure the next day.
Yeah.
So it's about managing stress in whatever. It's identifying that you have a problem and then doing something about it. So stress, it can be a diet change. It could be that boredom. Boredom has been known as a trigger.
Wow.
It can be things like... sunlight, as you say, you're mentioning strobe lighting. Strobe lighting, but even the fluorescent tubes.
Yes,
you know, when they're sort of flicking. Little,
Those.
Then there can be the individual stresses in some, or the triggers. Mm. People who can't eat 2 minute noodles. I know a person who can't have a shower.
Oh wow! So they just bath like this. It's the water sort of hitting them.
The water. Yeah. So it's actually identifying those triggers.
Yeah.
And that can take a time to actually understand.
And so this is part of your role, is working with someone perhaps who might be new to this to talk through some of these things and help them identify some of these triggers?
And how to do that is actually asking what's happened in the past 24 hours.
Mm.
And then we have a seizure diary, and people can start writing things in that seizure diary. And then when we've had they've had a seizure, we say, what's happened in 24 hours, so that we can try and identify. Yeah. So it could be a late night. It could be a party. Mm. It could be alcohol. Mm. It could be a whole number of things. And then once we start asking people, then you can actually sort of suggest that it could be a trigger. Mm. Even caffeine. You see, caffeine's a huge trigger for people. So drinking bucket loads of tea and coffee could cause people to have a trigger, a seizure.
So that's very, very interesting. We're going to take a short break. We're going to listen to a little bit of Annabelle Faye, Show Me the Right Way.
Oh, good.
Yeah. When we come back, though, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the resources that you have. Right. And we want to talk about your book, both the previous one and the very exciting new book to come out.
Yes.
Excellent. So we'll be back in just a few minutes.
show me the right way. Will someone show me the right way? Yeah. Will someone show me the right way? Yeah. Will someone show me the right way? Oh no. Will someone show me the right way? Ooh, show me the right way. Ooh, show me the right way.
That was Annabelle Faye. Beautiful voice, actually, and an absolutely lovely song there. Someone Show Me the Right Way. This is Holly with Connect with Community Waikato, brought to you by Free FM 89.0, Real Community Radio. And I'm in the studio today with Maria Lowe from Epilepsy Waikato Charitable Trust, talking today about your very busy but extremely important role in the community.
Busy, but fantastic.
Yep. Look, I think I'm often, we try and sing the praises, of course, of the community sector all the time, but sometimes it's really hard to actually genuinely get across the impact that people like yourself have in the lives of people who have got things happening that really impact the quality of their life.
And we're about improving that quality of life.
Yeah.
Actually, that seems to be the buzzword.
Yeah.
Really, for a lot of the not-for-profit organisations. And it is about connecting with people, making their lives a lot better than it is. And with epilepsy, it is a hidden condition until something goes wrong. And people are not that forthright about telling members of the public that they have epilepsy because they know there's also a fear factor associated with having the condition.
Yeah.
So my job is about working very hard to give a lot of awareness,
yes,
and also to help my clients. It's almost a human rights
thing. I think it absolutely is. Yes, yep. Absolutely.
Because there are so many barriers and burdens.
Yeah. I jumped on your website and have been having a bit of a look at what you've got there. And actually, you have an amazing array of resources. In fact, 22, I think,
yes.
Resources for people. They were fact sheets for people with epilepsy. Huge range of topics. Yes. You got all about medication. You had stuff on memory. Safety, I thought, was a really interesting topic. So you've got a heap of resources there. Who should access these resources? Who are they aimed at? And what is it you hope to do with these?
The clients. The person wanting to find information will actually access those resources. Yeah. So when people are on Google and they want information, they often get into our webpage. Not just people in the Waikato, but I'm finding people around New Zealand, Australia, even South America, South Africa, all over. They communicate with me to say that it's a great webpage full of accessible resources. So I've written the resources in an easy fashion for people because there is a lot of information that they need to have. And when they've been to a neurologist and the neurologist has said, here is your prescription, you have epilepsy, they go, right, and they don't quite understand what they've got. And so I've written fact sheets to accommodate the common man.
So it's written from a layperson's perspective,
yes,
rather than a doctor's.
Absolutely.
You know. Yeah, I think that's really important. You know, I'm sure doctors do the best job they possibly can, and they do great work. But I do think sometimes they forget that the rest of us haven't had 10 years of medical, education.
I take my hat off to the neurologists, actually, all over the place, because they don't know what they're dealing with sometimes.
Mm.
And epilepsy is a difficult, it can be a difficult condition to state that they have.
Yeah, so to identify.
To identify, it can be, because there are non-epileptic seizures as well. And so what is it? Are we talking about epilepsy or non-epileptic? So it's really difficult. So I take my hat off to the neurologist. they do the best they can. They prescribe the medication, say, we'll see you in 3 or 6 months. Then it's people like myself that work in the community to allay any of the fears that people have towards their condition.
Sometimes information is all people need, isn't it? Really understanding what's going on. I love, I wanted to touch on the activity sheets you've got for children, and I just thought, what an absolutely brilliant idea. I was looking at one that had where the children would identify
How they feel.
Yeah, how they feel. So, yes. And there was a neat little hand with little boxes. So,
That's quite important, because we actually don't ask children how they feel.
Yes.
We say somebody's had a seizure. But do we ask them how they feel afterwards? Mm. And some people can recover 10 minutes, half an hour. Other people actually don't want to talk to anyone for 2 days. Mm. Some people have dislocate their shoulders. And so you have to be prepared to ask the person how they feel. And even with children, children can get scared themselves. Children have headaches, the same as adults. And so it is about asking a child how you feel so we can better look after them after a seizure.
And all of that information, if you did that each time a child had a seizure and you could grab hold of that information, you'd start seeing patterns that they might find difficult to articulate. But if you were gathering the information over time, you might see certain things that are happening, or their recovery happens in a particular way.
Yes, I think, understanding their particular seizure patterns, very important. And then relaying that back to a teacher, back to a school, so that we have a little bit more empathy in schools. It's not always there.
Yeah.
Or changing attitudes with the teachers and with the children. There's still bullying present in schools. And so it is about acknowledgement of how I feel, and this is how what I want to happen.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So do you continue to make these resources as a new thing sort of comes up, or do you, like, how have you gone about creating these?
Right. I see a need.
Yes.
I write a fact sheet.
Or a book.
Well, actually, there is a mini book going on in my mind at present. It just takes me time to sit down and do it. So a fact sheet does take time, but there are things that I can still talk about. The elderly in epilepsy, women in epilepsy. The list, even reaching out to our Muslim community, having resources translated would be something that I'd like to happen eventually. So, yep, there are lots and lots of things that I have in the pipeline.
Yeah.
I just need the time.
Wow. And speaking of time, we're running out. And so I want to touch on this book.
Yes.
Should we talk about the new one?
We've got a new book called Ariana and Jack, which will supplement or complement, should I say, the book that we wrote 3 years ago called Ben's Buddies.
Yes.
So Ariana and Jack is looking at a child with epilepsy. What happens? So it is about going to the hospital, having an EEG. It is about having conversations with the pediatrician, having medication, using a seizure diary. Mm. And it is about what we were mentioning earlier about that conversation, how I feel with epilepsy. And so it is to reassure the child.
Yes.
And more importantly, to reassure the parent.
Yeah.
So at the back of the book, there are 2 pages of notes, easily written notes on epilepsy. And what it's all about for your child. Mm. It's about giving information. Now, the nice thing about...
It's a good conversation starter too, isn't it? If a parent needs to sit down and talk with a child about it, it's a wonderful way to start that.
Absolutely. Mm. Now, the Ben's Buddies is written in a similar fashion, written by Sharon Holt, who's an award-winning author here. And I had a family who can't speak English over the holidays call me and asked me for urgently to go to their home. When I had got home, they had Ben's Buddies out, and on the very last page, where it had a first aid poster, they had done exactly everything for their child.
Wow.
So they were able to see the picture
and
translated.
Follow the pictures.
To look after their daughter.
Wonderful.
And so this new book too, you can see the pictures. The picture tells the story. Mm. Now, the important thing about those 2 books is that it's been taken up by a New Zealand literary agent, and it's going to Bologna in April.
Wow.
To a book fair with the idea of actually having these books translated in other languages.
Brilliant.
So it lends itself very easily for an easy translation.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. Those sort of resources, you know, are really powerful in people's lives. So fantastic work.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know where you get the time to sleep, Maria.
Oh,
like, really?
No, well, it's a lot of work. And to produce even a simple book like that takes a year.
Yeah, look, absolutely. Well, probably more than a year when you think about it's the knowledge that you've got after how many years of working in the sector that has fed into going, actually, this is what we need.
Oh, yes.
You know, so it's a lot more than a year, I'm sure, that sits behind getting to that point.
Yes.
But wonderful. It is absolutely brilliant. We are running out of time on our end, but we will absolutely get you back for another conversation because I feel like we could talk about this for hours.
Oh, there's lots to talk about.
There really is.
Yes, lots to talk about. And I'm always happy to come back and have a chat.
Fantastic. Yes. We will take you up on that.
Yes. Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Thank you. Yes. So that was Maria Lowe talking with us today from the Epilepsy Waikato Charitable Trust about her role as an advisor in our community. Very, very lucky to have that role here and someone like Maria doing that quality of work. You have been listening to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0, Real Community Radio. We'll be back with you next week.
For more episodes of this Community Access Radio show, please visit freefm.org.nz. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this podcast possible by funding the Access Internet Radio Project.